Let's go, Buffalo. Let's go, Buffalo. All right. All right, please, find your seats. Find your seats. Listen, here's why I'm cutting it short. Listen, can I get your attention? It's everybody. All right. Woo, gotcha. All right, listen. You're going to have so much time after the service to be able to do what you just did right there. And that's why I'm cutting it short, because I want you to feel like, hey, I got to talk to that guy. You get to. It's great. We're going to have that opportunity. So I'm excited. We have a chili cook-off going on. And if you didn't know this, Dan Hoffman over at Hoffy's made us a trophy for the winner. So we're all ready. We're ripping roaring. Well, listen, if you were with us last week, Pastor Jeff just introduced a new sermon to us, a new series. It's a mini-series. It's only two parts. And it's called Living to Win. How many of you enjoyed that? I enjoyed it. I was thinking about it all week, you know, when things were coming. What his point was is when we're if we have an attitude, a spiritual attitude of living not to lose, if we're living that kind of attitude, our focus is not on God, it's on our circumstances, just like what Pastor Scott was saying. And therefore, when our focus is not on God and on our circumstances, it actually determines our destiny. And he used Joshua and he used Caleb. They were a part of the 12 spies. There were two of the 12 that went into the land of Canaan. They went into the promised land. And they had an attitude of winning. Okay? And the reason why they didn't enter into that land is because the majority, the other 10, were living to not lose. They were playing not to lose. And Jeff used the awesome illustration that in our life, it's like playing the prevent defense. In football, there's a prevent defense where their whole focus is, we don't want to lose. We don't want to lose. And what ends up happening? They usually lose. So we, in our lives, do not want to be living that way. We want to focus our focus on God, who is bigger than all the other circumstances. And that gives us this incredible ability to live to win. Amen? All right, so with that in mind, I got a quick video clip I want to show you that that I put together last week, and I think you'll enjoy it. It's go time now, buddy. It's go time now. My mama didn't give me a golden arm for no reason, and I'm coming for you, son. I'm coming for you. I'm gonna wipe that farm jersey right off your body. Omaha! 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 Get open! I said Omaha! Spin! Juke! Get open! Here comes the Hail Mary! That? Do you enjoy that? Awesome. All right, so listen, as I'm with that in mind, I want to tell you a story about a professor in college who was, he was confiding in his students. He was telling them something about his childhood. He was explaining to him, he was a part of a traveling missionary family that would go from country to country to country to country. You know, Istanbul, there he'd go to Cuba, he went to all these different countries. And when he was a little boy, he told his students this in the class. He said, my one dream was to be a Boy Scout. That was my one dream. That was my only thing I really wanted to do when I was a kid, was be a Boy Scout. So his dad, being the good dad he is, looked into, did some research and found out that there's a program actually called the Lone Scouts Program. Anybody ever hear of the Lone Scouts Program? Well, if you don't know it, let me tell you. It's just like any other Boy Scout, except you're alone. So, for example, and this is a real thing. Like, for example, you would go and you would start and learn how to build a campfire alone. And then you would get your hot dog out and you would roast it on the campfire alone. And then you would sing campfire songs alone. And heck, you would go to scout meetings alone. Isn't that sound ridiculous? You know, when we talk about that, or when we see, you know, a character playing football by himself, acting like he's throwing to somebody, I mean, we look at those types of things and we say it's ridiculous. Am I right? we look at them and we're like, there's something not right there. That's like, that doesn't feel right. And listen, I'm going to tell you this morning, and what I've entitled my message today is the team. And because the same way we look at the lone quarterback by himself, and the same way we look at the scout, the lone scout by himself, is the same way that God looks at lone Christians. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, I'm good. I'm in church. But let me clarify what I mean by lone Christians. Lone Christians, they can not come to church. They can come to church because it really doesn't matter because it's an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude that says, I really don't need those people. I don't really need them. I can do it on my own. I don't need them to tell me what to do. I don't need them to judge me, to criticize me. I don't need them to pray for me. I don't need to be in community with them because I can do it by myself. So you could even be a part of a care group and still have a lone Christian mindset. You could even be a part of a Christian community, but in your heart, you are building up blocks to say, I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to be open to this. So the question we got to ask ourselves today is it okay to be a lone Christian? And to answer that, let's go to the beginning. Can we do that? To Genesis in your Bibles. I think it's always great to start in the Word, and we'll go right to the very beginning and how God created things. So if you're in your Bibles, go to Genesis 1. This was not built for t-shirts from the 70s. You guys like this? I got this at you're turning there. I got this at Savers. You ever hear of Savers? It's a thrift store. And I got it, and Andy was with me at times. It was like a year and a half ago. It fit a little better back then. And when I got it, it was like the Holy Grail. It was like, oh my gosh. It's from like 1986. I was like, I love every, when I picked it up, it's been my favorite shirt. So anyway, Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals, and all over the creatures living in the ground. Now listen, I underline this. It says, let us make mankind in our image. This is God talking. Now, for most of you, if you've been in church for a number of years, you realize that this is proving the existence of the Trinity, right? But for sake of our conversation today, I believe that this is also proving that God is a communal God. That God is not by himself up there all alone just waiting that maybe we can pray with him, talk with him. He's a part of a community. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons in one. God in his true nature of who he is community, is a team, is fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia. He is all those things in who he is created to be. So when we're looking at the answering the question, is it okay to be a lone Christian? Well, not even for God is it okay to be alone. God isn't even alone. That blew my mind. You know, that blows my mind when I think of that. So what does that mean for me? What does that mean for my life? Let's look over, just get to the right, to the next chapter in Genesis 2, when God created Adam. Now listen, I'll tell you this. Every time God created something, he created everything, right? And every time he did, he said what at the end? Look, it says, it is not good for man to be alone. That is the only time he says it. Creates man in his image. And he says those words. It is not good for man to be alone. So let's think about this. God is creating man in his own image. How can he create man by himself if he's doing it in his own image? He can't. He can't do it. So he said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable to him. We all know this to be Eve. We know this to be woman. I actually did a sermon yesterday when I did a wedding yesterday, and it was all Bills themed. It was crazy. These people were coming out for the wedding party when they were announcing them at the reception. They all had jerseys on and helmets on, and they did the Bills song. It was crazy. But that's what I told them at that wedding. I said, it is not God's design for you to be alone. That is not his design. His design is for you to be in community with others, for you to have people around you and not by yourself. You ever meet a hermit before? Do you know anybody know a hermit before? Listen, I think we all have that in us somewhere that says, I don't want to deal with those people today.
I don't want to go near them. I just want to sit on the couch in my underpants and do what I want.
I mean, come on, let's be honest. We don't want anybody judging us. We'll take our shirts off. We'll just hang out, you know, guys? And then you find out your wife invited somebody over for dinner, and it's like the world just ended. But God said, listen, he said, it is not good. So everything, think about it for Adam, everything is good at this time when he's by himself, right? It's good. It's like that guy on his couch, you know, eating chips. Everything is good. But it's him and God. I can just imagine. I mean, imagine that for a second. Nobody else except you and God. And I can imagine the conversation would be like, Adam would say, God, do you love me? And God would look down and say, Adam, like no one else, man. Like no one else, because there is nobody else, you know? It's like so good. You guys talk about quality time with the Lord. He had quality time with the Lord. I mean, he just hung out with God, naming animals, having all kinds of fun. And then God says, listen, it's not good for you to be alone. I wonder if partially he's like, I'm a little annoyed with you. You know, you need somebody to... No, I'm just kidding. He doesn't get annoyed with it. But he knew that we needed somebody there for us, right? But unfortunately, we know what happened in the garden. Sin entered in. I got another clip. I had to show it. I almost didn't want to show it, but I have to show it. Because when sin entered in, it destroyed our relationship with God, right? It severed that communion. But can I say it also severed the communion with each other? So check out this clip.
Adam, does this goatskin make me look big?
Looks better on you than the previous owner. What?
I'm having a hard time losing these last few pounds since burying your children, and that's the best you can do? I look better than a goat? Thanks.
Babe, you know you are the most beautiful woman on the planet. What?
I'm the only woman on the planet.
Well, I can't help that.
You know, and it's amazing that as the only woman on the planet, you still can't seem to remember my birthday or give me flowers once in a while.
Well, I did give you a rib.
Oh, right. I forgot about that, since you haven't mentioned it for an hour. It's like your free pass to never lift a finger for me again.
Never lift a finger? I am out there busting my rear all day. Food just doesn't pop up from the ground. I have to get it with the sweat of my brow, since someone went and got the ground cursed.
You think farming's hard? Try raising those kids. Try giving birth.
Well, if someone wouldn't have taken advice from a talking reptile.
Oh, here we go.
Are you talking to me, little snake? What? Oh, jump off a bridge? Oh, I would, but they haven't been invented yet. Oh, eat this fruit? Well, you look like a pretty trustworthy snake.
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, well, we were until you went and pretty much ruined it for all of mankind. So, good job with that.
I seem to remember you taking a bite, too.
Well, I thought I was eating from the tree of the knowledge of restfulness and serenity.
Right. It's never your fault.
Besides, what was I going to do with a fallen wife? That would just be weird.
Oh, you fell for me? You're an idiot.
Idiot? I named every single animal.
Right. Great job with that. A prairie dog's not a dog. A seahorse isn't a horse. And a bald eagle isn't bald.
Well, I was going pretty fast.
Aardvark? Platypus?
Okay, they were at the back of the line. Not everything can be cat or rat or bat.
Hippopotamus?
Yeah, well, woman was taken. Oh. Okay, how many gourds do you have back there? That was a joke. Not good for men to be alone.
No, it's great.
All right, so there was the first fight. There was Adam and Eve's first fight. I think we could even trace it before that. Their first fight was when he said, the woman made me do it. Right? She made me do it. Oh, you want me to... Listen, when we look at it, it didn't just end there. This is when sin entered the world, this is when hostility started. This is, like, you can trace it back to all the wars and all the tribes against tribes and people against people. It's all because of sin. It's all because of the garden. That's why we have issues with relating with each other, with getting into a team and actually progressing. Because we have sin in our lives that is coming between us and other people and us and God. But Jesus did something. I want to show you this, because when Jesus entered the world, the whole thing changed. The whole thing changed. So go to Ephesians chapter 2. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, for a backstory, Paul is writing to the Ephesians. They were Gentiles. Gentiles is basically they were not Jewish, okay? The Jewish people did not like the Gentiles. They hated them. It was very hostile. If you don't believe me, just look back at any of the wars in the Middle East. This is what we're dealing with on a continuous basis. We're still dealing with it today. So the Jews didn't like the Gentiles. The Gentiles didn't like the Jews. The Jews said, you're not good enough. You're not clean. We're not supposed to associate with you. You're disgusting dogs. That sometimes they would call them that. And the Gentiles didn't really like the Jewish people because they thought they were all perfect and thought they were awesome. You know what I'm talking about, like the religion. We don't want to be associated with you either. So it wasn't just one side. It was both sides, you know? It's like in a marriage. It's like it's her fault. It's his fault. It's probably both your fault, let me be honest, you know? If we go in, if any of you have been through some premarital counseling or even marital counseling, you know that it's not always just one party. It's both. Amen? All right. So here we are in Ephesians 2. Paul is writing to the Gentiles. He's telling them, listen, you guys are a part of the team. You guys who used to be far from God, God is now placing you together. Don't worry. So he says in Ephesians 2:14, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. I love that. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. When in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of the law when its commandments and its regulations. He made peace between the Jews and the Gentiles by creating in himself one new people. Notice that it doesn't say two. It says one. One new people from two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of the death on the cross and the hostility towards one another. Now look over on verse 19. It says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with God's holy people. You are holy members of God's family. Together, we are in his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. We are, I love that. This is like telling us right now. It's all there. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of the dwelling of where God lives by his Spirit. Now listen, it's very clear to me right now, and I hope you can get this, that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, so many times we say, and it's true, he died for me. Right? That's true. That's a true statement. He died for me. And we also, sometimes we have bumper stickers that say, he was thinking of you. Right? But can I tell you, there's another part of the story. God didn't just die. Jesus didn't just die on the cross for you to have communion with him. He also died on the cross for us. Do you follow me? Jesus Christ died on the cross for us to have communion with him, but he died on the cross for us to have community with each other. Because in his design, he did not want us to be separate. He did not want hostility. That's why it said he is our peace. His blood brought peace to our hostility. So you say you're a Christian, right? I say I'm a Christian. But if we are avoiding being a community, avoiding being a fellowship, what we're honestly doing is saying, God, I only believe half of what you did. Because his design, his desire is for you to be a part of everything in him. And he is a team God. He is not about separation. He is not about you being all by yourself doing what you want, when you want, where you want. He's about you being a part of the team. So Paul is pleading with the Gentiles. And the writers of Hebrews did the same thing, pleaded with the Jewish people that we are a team. And listen, it's not like Jesus had the Jewish people here and then the Gentiles were over here. He brought them both to him. In fact, when he's on the cross and he has his arms spread out, that's both sides that he's reaching out to. He died for us. He died so we can have peace, fellowship, community, togetherness with each other. Because listen, we can't do this thing by ourselves. We can't. And he knew that. He knew that we couldn't do this without the team. So listen, I have four team benefits. And when I'm talking about for the team, when I'm talking about the team, I am talking about the body of Christ. In all its imperfections, I got it. I know that. But I am talking about the body of Christ. And this is a winning team. This is not the Buffalo Bills today where we're like, maybe they'll be good. Possibly they'll be good. It's a possibility. No, this is a team that you can put your stock in because he's already won. So if he already won, it's like you have a crystal ball. Let's pretend you have a like Marty McFly in Back to the Future, and they're looking over, what was that, Biff, right? Biff was the character. And Biff had the scores, right? Because he went, his old self brought back the scores and told him the almanac of who would win what game. So he knew who was going to win, and he had so much money and so much power and so much strength. That is exactly what you have being a part of this team, is that you are looking to the future through the Bible and saying, oh my gosh, he wins. This is the right team to be on. I want to be on this team. So when that happens, you say, okay, I can deal with some of the stuff that's going on. You know, I could deal with that, and I need to get to a point where I'm not all focused on myself and what I want, but a team-oriented thing. Okay, you're with me, right? You're together. I love this. I want to just use this as an example here. Paul says in just a couple chapters, you can just write it down if you want, in Ephesians 4, he says to them, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Every effort. So the first benefit that I have is support. Support. In Ecclesiastes it says, two are better than one. We can agree with that, right? Because they have a good return for the labor. And I love this. If either of them falls, one can help the other one up. But listen, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to pick them up. Pity that person. That's the person that doesn't have anybody in their lives, that they've separated themselves. They say, I don't want to be a part of that team. They fall down and nobody can pick them up. Nobody's there to help them up and say, come on, we got this. You can do this. They're by themselves. And the Bible says to pity those people. Listen, don't pity yourself. If you're in that case, don't pity yourself. I don't know about you, but one of my favorite projects in school, and hopefully this is you, one of my favorite projects was when the teacher said, all right, guys, get a group together. We're doing a group project. Woo! Group project! I was excited. Do you know why? Because I knew I didn't have to do all the work. I mean, come on. How many of you in here were like, yeah, group project. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're like in ninth grade, you're like speaking in tongues, all excited about the group project. They say group project, I'm like, oh, I don't have to do it all. I got people to help me. And I know for some of you, you're like, listen, you don't understand what group projects were for me. I think, honestly, if my wife is here, she's probably downstairs feeding the baby. Oh, she's right there. Okay, you were over here. She was over here, I'm just saying. Like for Jess, when she was in college, group projects all fell on her. But let's be honest, when the teacher said, this is going to be a group project, every single one of us the first time was like, oh, yeah. And then you're like, hey, will you be with me? Hey, you want to be on my team? You're already trying to get your team together of all the smart people so that you're all right. And listen, in this life, in this Christian walk, it is easier to do it with other people. You get the support. They pick you up. You get accountability. People saying, hey, listen, I see you're, I'm obviously these are friends, and this is why it's hard, but they're like, I see that you're kind of struggling in this area. Can I pray for you? What can I do for you? So many times in our world, we say, I don't like that. I don't like they're judging me. They're not judging you. They're trying to help you up. If you have the idea that they're judging me, they don't like me, blah, 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 that, why would they say that to you? Sometimes it doesn't come out right. I got that. But what their heart, what's the heart of the matter? They want help for you. They want you to succeed. When you have the attitude that says that they don't want it, they're just judging me and doing all this, you are the person that we are to pity because you're separating yourself from the group. You're saying they don't want to help me. All they do is tell me I'm on the ground. It's like, yeah, you're on the ground. Can I help you up? But you're just looking down on me. It's because you're on the ground. Let me get you up here. You know, when you look at star football players, listen, LeSean McCoy today, running back for the Buffalo Bills that we picked up in the offseason, he can't do it by himself. He just can't. The guy can't do it by himself if he doesn't have anybody blocking for him. There are no star Christians in this thing. Not me, not Pastor Jeff, not Pastor Scott. We are not the stars. We are on the same level as you guys. That's where we get weird about things. We're like, I'm not as good as... Listen, we got our own stuff. And we need you. Look, there are no stars. There's no stars. And there's nobody more important than the other. I'm mad because, listen, this is a screwed up childhood that I had. My father's fault. It's my dad's fault. I am a Buffalo Bills fan. I am also a Dallas Cowboys fan. It's really screwed up. I'm sorry. I apologize. It's messed up. I know. I struggle with this, but I can't help it. They're my two favorite teams. When they were in the Super Bowls, I was like, woohoo, you know? Well, DeMarco Murray, he was the running back last year, and he just set all kinds of records. And then he got traded to the Eagles. Okay? No, he didn't get traded. He was a free agent. He signed with the Eagles. He signed with the enemy, you know? But anyway, when he was a Cowboys, I'm venting. I'm like super upset about it. Because now who do we got? McFadden. Anyway, nobody knows what I'm talking about. That's all right. DeMarco Murray, he was an incredible running back for us, but the reason why he was so good is because the Cowboys last year had the best offensive line in the NFL. Terrible defense, but great offensive line. And every single day that they gave him this like 100, 200 yards rushing, he would buy them things, take them out to dinner, give them things, iPads, phones. I heard he bought one dude a car. It's because he was so grateful. He knew he couldn't be great without them. He knew that he couldn't be great without them, so he gave them things and is showing appreciation. We have to have that mindset of support that says, I appreciate for who you are because you help me. Not that you're judging me, but you help me. We have to get our mindset to that. We need to do things together, don't we? Together is better. All right, number two, encouragement. When you're a part of a winning team, something changes in your hearts. Something happens. I mean, watch when the Buffalo Bills went to four straight Super Bowls. All of us in here, some of you weren't even Bills fans. You were just like, whoa, I'm excited. I don't know why. It's because Western New York, there was this buzz that was going on that people were excited. They were excited because the team was winning. Maybe not the Super Bowls, but they were going to them. Do you know what I'm saying? Who here is a Seahawks fan? Come on, be honest. Anybody's? Jimmy. I pick on Jimmy because I say that he only likes Seahawks because they win. It's not true. But there are a lot of those bandwagon fans that jump on. Jimmy's liked Seahawks since he was a kid. It's you know, he's got the same problem I do. What? Yeah, exactly. It's weird. So here's the deal. Like, so many people just like the team because they're good, right? I can tell you right now, if you're part of God's team, you should be encouraged because we're good. We're good. We're winning. That should encourage you. We see a great example of this with Jesus. He takes a bunch of dummies, right? Makes them into disciples. And somebody told me once, don't talk about them like that because they're going to have a word with you when they get to heaven. I'm like, that's fine with me. I'm going to be able to relate to him with all the issues that I have. So anyway, he took a bunch of guys together, fishermen and tax collectors, and brought them all together. And these guys didn't have any training. They didn't go to school for this. They weren't like, I know all about the Bible. But something happened where they're like,
I want to do it. I want to go out. I want to be a part of this team. Because Jesus was with them.
Yes.
Matthew 18:20, it says, when two or three of you join together in my name, you'll be sure that I'll be with you. Yes. See, inside this word, encouragement is courage. Courage. Jesus brings courage to the team. In his presence, right now, he's here with us. When you join into a small group, he's with you. When you're going out on a prayer walk with your friend, he's with you. This community that we're talking about, he's with us in his name. That should pump us up. That should get us getting all excited, right? All right, listen. How many of you know January 3rd, 1993? Does anybody know what that day was? Some of you diehard Bills fans, come on. January 3rd, I'm going to help you. The greatest comeback. The comeback. If you didn't know, let me explain this to you real quick. The Bills had their star quarterback go down, Jim Kelly. They have Frank Reich behind them. Frank Reich. He goes into this thing, and they are losing terribly in the first half. They're playing, it's playoffs, okay? They gotta win. They got their backup quarterback. They're sitting there, and at halftime, the score was 28-3. At halftime. Marv Levy lit into him. But even more than that was Walt Corey, the defensive coordinator. And if you don't know anything about Walt, he wasn't really the kind of guy to get all mad and scream and say bad things. That was not who he was. But he knew that this team was better than how they were playing. So he said, this is quoted, he said, to me, they looked timid. They looked like they were going to get to the right spots, but they weren't going to make anything happen afterwards. This is an attitude game. Oh, come on now. Sometimes you start playing and you're afraid to make things happen or afraid to make a mistake. That's like what we were talking about last week, isn't it? It's like, I don't want to make a mistake. And then they don't do anything. So he's in there and he tells them this. And then Marv Levy has a word with him. And then in the third quarter, in the start of the third quarter, Frank Reich throws an interception, 35-3. The pep talk didn't talk, apparently, right? The pep talk didn't work. Nothing happened there. But at this point, listen, Daryl Talley and Cornelius Bennett were on the sidelines, and they were getting the guys pumped up. And people are looking, they say now, like, we thought they were crazy. We thought they were crazy when Daryl Talley's like, we're going to beat them. We're going to win. We're going to make them sorry for what they did. And it's like, you're crazy. We're losing 35-3. To make a long story short, they won the game. They won the game. They came back from a deficit that no other team would be looking at and say, I can't do it. And it's because of encouragement. It's because the team got together and started telling each other we can do this. The team started doing things and encouraging others, interceptions and touchdowns. And people were excited about the work that they were doing on that team. Yes. There was Frank Reich who wasn't, he was a great quarterback, but he wasn't Jim Kelly. And he rose to the occasion because everybody was encouraging him. That's what we need to do in the body of Christ is encourage one another that we can do this. That we can do this. When you're a part of a team, there's something that happens. Something that happens. You get encouraged. You get pumped up. Rex Ryan just said it to the fans. He says, when we get here, he said, this is a challenge. Get as loud as you can when our defense is on the team. We're in the stands, right? We're not a part of the team. You are. You are a part of the team. The 12th man was created because there's 11 men on the field. The 12th man is us. And I'm telling you, he's saying there is no difference between the guys on the field and the people in the stands that we're all a part of this thing. Get loud, he says. Get crazy. And then when the offense is there, take a break. But when the defense is on there, get loud and crazy. We can have that encouragement. Number three, influence. Listen, we all know that we have the common goal. Our common goal is to be like Jesus, right? We all got that. We can't do it without each other. We just can't. Proverbs 13:20 says this. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But a companion of fools suffers harm. So here's the question you got to ask. I believe, to be honest with you, I think we're all on a team. The question is, are you on the right team? Listen, influence happens right here. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. I want to walk with the wise. That's what I want to do. I want to be surrounded by that. Because you will be influenced by other people. There's this thing I want to show you. It's the Ash experiment. This is an experiment that they did back in the 70s, and they've done it over and over and over with every generation. It always ends up the same. This video I want to show you is going to show you exactly what it's like about influence. Think about this in your life and who you surround yourselves with. Okay? Go ahead.
The Ash experiment is one of psychology's oldest and most popular pieces of research. A volunteer is told that he's taking part in a visual perception test. What he doesn't know is that the other participants are actors, and he's the only person taking part in the real test, which is actually about group conformity.
Please begin. The experiment you will be taking part in today involves the perception of line length. Your task will be simply to look at the line here on the left and indicate which of the three lines on the right is equal to it in length. So, for example, if you...
The actors have been told to match the wrong lines. The volunteer will be monitored to see if he gives the correct answer or if he goes along with the opinion of the group and gives the wrong answer. In the first test, the correct answer is two.
One. Two.
One. Once again, the correct answer is two.
Three.
Three.
The Ash experiment has been repeated many times, and the results have been supported again and again. We will conform to the group. Again, we're very social creatures. We're very much aware of what the people around us think. We want to be liked. We don't want to be seen to rock the boat, so we will go along with the group. Even if we don't believe what people are saying, we'll still go along.
One.
Group dynamics is one of the most powerful forces in human psychology.
One.
All right, so there you go. Isn't that interesting? He looked at it, he knew what the number was, he knew which one it was, and he went along with the group. Because he didn't want to be out of the group. He wanted to be in the community. So here, listen, the truth is that you are influenced by who you're with. That's the truth. You are influenced with who you are with. They actually say the biggest determinant to what you do is not actually, to your actions, it's not actually what you believe. It's actually, the biggest determinant is who you are hanging around with. So I get that. I understand that. Like all the dumb things I did in high school, you know, all the stupid things I did in college to try to be a part of the group, I understand that I am part of that, that we're all part of that, that we will do what we need to do to be liked by the group. Here's the thing, though. I want to be in the right group. I want to be in the group that's influencing me to be more like Jesus. I want to be a part of the group that's influencing me to say no to myself and yes to other people, to be able to be a servant instead of serving myself. I want to be a part of a group that actually has life. So that's the question you got to ask is when you're sitting there and you're wondering, it's like, listen, I got it. I know most of you are like, but I have so many friends who aren't Christians. Listen, I don't believe it's a subtraction thing. I believe it's an addition thing. I believe that we're not, you don't have to separate and like say, I'm not going to hang out with you anymore, but make sure the best community you have, the one you're with all the time, the one that you are with more than the other ones is the godly community. Yes. Make sure that's happening, because if that's not happening, you're getting influenced.
We need to ask ourselves, whose team am I on here? Am I being a part of this? Am I actively pursuing this? Or am I just here? coming of, on occasion. Do you have communities? Are there people that you are conversing with and having conversations with, asking for prayer? Are you asking for those things? Because that's what you're going to be influenced by. That's what's going to shape you as a human being that is trying to be like Jesus. Because like Paul said in Ephesians, this is one team, two groups, one team. He's formed us into a new humanity for us. That's why God is so strong about it. Now listen, this next one is my last one. I realize that so many of you are not going to like this. It's stretching. Some of you are wondering why would you put down stretching as a benefit? Because I don't like to be stretched. And I'm sure if I asked any of you in this room to touch your toes, some of you would have a really hard time, maybe even break your back, you know? Because you're not used to stretching. And stretching doesn't feel good. Stretching isn't fun. That's nothing that we're excited about doing. But in the same way that we avoid stretching or exercising, in the same way, a lot of us avoid getting around different types of people that think differently than us because we're afraid that it's going to hurt. We're afraid that it's not going to feel good. But can I tell you, it's good for you. Listen, we don't like doing it because it's hard. We don't like doing it because, let's be honest, this whole idea of the care groups and the thing we're doing next door, it's scary. Because we're like, well, I don't know. What happens if they say something to me? Guess what? They probably will. What happens if they offend me? They're probably going to. What happens if they challenge me to do something that I don't think I can do? That's going to happen. That's stretching. I'm a part of the board here and the elders. The elders, we meet over there, okay? This was not a signed up thing like, hey, I want to hang out with Russ and Tom and my mom and Scott. It's not like we signed up for this. This is the board meeting at church, right? But we are a care group. Let me just tell you that. Because we talk about things and we pray about things and we're a care group. But I like it. I like it. I really do. Because we're all so different. We're all so different. Russ is like, could be my grandpa. Do you know what I mean? Everybody else in the room could be my dad. And that's where I'm at right there. But we all come from different backgrounds, different areas. And it actually is incredibly beneficial because we all are coming from a different place in life, from different backgrounds. But we have one thing in common, and that's Jesus. I like that. I like that. But the problem is, so many times we don't sign up for that. It's because it's easier to sit on the couch and not do anything than it is to get up and lift some weights and do some working out. But which one is beneficial? Just because it's easy doesn't mean it's beneficial. It's easy to sit at home and not do anything, but it's not beneficial for you. I was going to Tops. My wife asked me to pick her up some stuff at Tops, and I was going through there, and I was trying to do my best to pick up the things that she wanted me to pick up, but I was so tempted to pick up the things that she didn't ask for me to pick up. You know how this is, right? You're there to buy the things on the list, and the things on the list are like cauliflower and kale. Like, what, kale? Nobody likes kale. There's crazy stuff like that. You know, health food. It's like, get low-sodium chips. And it's like, what's the point? You know, get healthy chips. Get some smart popcorn. You know, all those things. And as I'm sitting there in the line, I'm looking at smart popcorn, I'm thinking, those Doritos look a lot better than that popcorn. You know, it's like 35 calories per cup on the popcorn. And then on the Doritos, they don't even tell you. It's really small in the back. And it's like, they're on sale. I want the chips. That's what I want. I want the chips. And we got to be honest with ourselves. We don't like doing things that we don't want to do. We just don't. It's not like we're like, some of you have gotten into working out and it's what you like to do. It's your thing. I got that. But there are still things in your life that you're like, I don't want to do that. And I'm not going to, and you can't make me. But God is saying, listen, you think that you don't get along with each other. Imagine you're a Jew or a Gentile. And God's saying, I want you to come together. Paul's saying, listen, God died on the cross for you guys to be a team. I'm like, I don't really want to be a team with them. I don't like them. Well, listen, that's not how it works, because God's in control, and he says the one thing that will unite you together is me. And the stretching that takes place is actually going to build the kingdom. It's easy to hang around with the people that don't challenge you. It's easy to hang out with the people that have the same problems that you have. But real community takes place when we're being stretched. When we're like, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if I like that. I don't know if that's there. But then there's something that happens in us that we meet these grounds. We meet these places. I mean, Pastor Jeff and I are a great example. We think very differently on some things. But I like having that because we're stretching each other. He stretches me, I stretch him. We're in this thing together. That's community. It wouldn't be the same if it was just me stretching him or him just stretching me. That wouldn't be community anymore. We actually stretch each other. All of us in this place are in one body. And we got to be doing the calisthenics and touching our toes. We got to be stretching each other and moving in there. And listen, you don't even have to try. You're going to stretch somebody. You're just who you are is going to stretch somebody. But that's about being a team. You know, you look, Pastor Jeff used a great analogy of a few years ago. And he showed us a bicycle wheel. You know, a bicycle wheel has all these different spokes that are going in all these different directions, right? And they're all pulling on each other to do something. All different personalities and backgrounds and all this stuff. But it's a wheel. And without those spokes, if it only had one spoke, it's not a wheel anymore. It ain't going to support the weight. We need each other in this. We need each other. We need to be pursuing it. In Acts, it says that they pursued, that they were looking for, they were devoted to meeting with each other, devoted to fellowship and communion, devoted to those things. We need that in our lives too. In closing, I just want to tell you, this is what Jesus said, and it's always great to end. It's great to start in Genesis and great to end with Jesus, but here we go in John 13, 34 through 35, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you will love one another, even as I have loved you, that you would also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, and if you love one another." Now listen, this is it. Why do we do this? Is it okay to be a lone Christian? No. Why? The biggest reason is because us coming together as a fellowship, us coming together in community and doing life together, us loving each other and giving grace for each other as Jesus gave grace for us and love for us that we don't deserve. By us doing that, the end goal is that all men will know that you are my disciples. See, the end goal is that they're going to be looking to him. Wow, look at all those people. They're getting along. That's not what they say about us right now. They say, look at all those Christians fighting. Why would I want to be a part of that? Because God's design is not for us to fight. God's design is for us to be on the same team in a huddle saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go forward and we're going to make his name glorified. That's his design. That's what he died for. Because he knew that you can't do it by yourself. He knew that he wanted not only for us to be a team together, but he wants to be the quarterback. He wants to be the one in there saying, all right, guys, here's the play. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. You're going to block there. You don't want to block? Okay, let's get somebody else who can. I mean, come on. We have to be a part of this thing, and we're moving forward. Because when we're a part of God's team and we're together, we're going to be able to do great things in his name and glorify him above all else. Let's stand together and pray. Father, first of all, Lord, I, with some of this revelation and some of the things that were said today, God, and in the studying that I went through, God, I think we're all here to say thank you, God, for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you, God, for bringing community with us and you and with each other. Lord, we can't do this thing without us. We can't do this thing without each other, without the team. Lord, I don't want to be that guy that's out there by myself going against some big linemen and hoping that it all works out. And although, Lord, I know that there are times that there are people that just irritate us, we need them to be on our team. We need them to block us for us. We need to block for them. Lord, we need to be in this thing and committed and dedicated and devoted. Lord, I think it's timely that it's during football season, but I think it's timely that we're here in a care group, having a care group chili cook-off after this. And some people would look at that and say, is that church? I'm telling you guys, that is church. We're coming together, we're fellowshipping in one name, Jesus Christ. So, Father, I just pray for anyone here that's in this place and they're struggling right now with the words that I said. Lord, they're struggling with some of the things that are in the Bible that says, well, we don't want to do that. That hurts. That's hard for me to do that. Lord, I am not ignorant to the fact there are people here that are harboring resentment and bitterness, and they've been hurt and they've been wounded, and they are so upset that they've built up walls. Lord, I pray right now by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would start ministering to them. Lord, would you start ministering to them and showing them that you can heal them, that the forgiveness that they have is not for themselves or not for the other person, but the forgiveness is for themselves. Lord, you want us to be forgiving people. You want us to be loving people and gracious people. You want us to be a part of the team. But God, I know that there are people here that are struggling with that. And I know some of you have so many fears. So many fears of what's going to happen if I open up. I'm telling you, today's where it ends. Today's where you take that step of faith and you say, God, I'm going to follow through this. I know there's going to be stretching times, but I know the benefits that are in there outweigh the negatives. Father, I just ask that you would convict us, show us, Lord, help us get plugged into some Christian communities that are going to be beneficial for our spiritual walk. Lord, we're thankful that we're part of a team that's winning. We're thankful that we're part of a team that's already won, that you've already done it on the cross. And Father, I ask today, Lord, that you would just, by the power of your Holy Spirit, lead us into those groups. While we're just conversing, hanging out, eating chili, watching football right after this, Lord, I pray that you will help us be able to think of each other, to think about what your goal is, what your heart is for your church. Put our differences aside and be able to get together for some fellowship because you love it. You love it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, before you go, we have to get these chairs out of here, okay? Because tomorrow we're ripping up the carpet. So if everybody could grab two chairs, a chair or two. Hold on, Pastor Jeff has something else.
Oh, okay.
Just real quick, Tracy wasn't in the sanctuary during the time that we were talking about the care group. She just wants to mention hers real quick before we start breaking up.
Well, what a perfect time to mention my group. It's actually not my group, it's the Lord's group, but I'm facilitating at my house, and it's called LIFT, and it's Ladies in Fellowship Together, because we need one another. And women are involved in so many things during the day, whether it's a full-time job, staying at home with the kids, or they might be involved at something at a church, but it's kind of coming and going. And we need one another to encourage one another, to pray with one another, to laugh, and to get to know other women. So we'll be getting together from 6:30 to 8:30 every Thursday. You can drop off your teen to Rooted, or you can just come if you don't have a teen and join us. We have a lot of fun, and it's a great way to get to know other women.
All right. Thank you, Tracy. Okay, so as mentioned last week, you could really help us. You guys, the team, we could make this happen really quick. What we're asking you to do is to grab a chair and take it with you when you exit through the gym over here. Scott is on the other side of the wall right here. He's going to direct you where to go, and there'll be some folks stacking chairs in a particular location next door. We really, really appreciate your help. Where are we going to be next Sunday morning? Arcade Elementary, 10 o'clock, okay? God bless you. We'll see you, well, hopefully next door in a minute, but next week there. There is prayer available in the midst of moving chairs right up front here.